This is Age of Treason Radio. On the White Network.
And Daddy always smiled, took me by the hand, saying someday you'll understand. Well, I'm here to tell you now that you never mother's son. You better learn it fast, you better learn it young, for someday it never comes.
With your host, Tan Stoffel.
The title of this installment is Race and Organ Transplants, Part 1. I'd like to say a word first to urge you to listen, if you haven't already, to Carolyn Yeager's most recent show, the 18th of March show 2013, titled Upholding Standards Within the Truth Community, because I want to echo what Carolyn said, the appeal she made and the rationale for it, for appealing for donations to our network. I'm one of those people, and I know she is as well, that find it distasteful to ask for money, and neither Carolyn or Hadding Scott or myself do what we do for the money, but we do need money to do what we do, so to pay for our servers and it would help us greatly if you could donate. And on a related note, tell your friends and family about the White Network, and promote us, you know, in the forums that you visit, and drop a link to the work that we've done, especially when you see something relevant to a topic that we've already covered. On another related note, please do comment. You know, I go to a lot of trouble to pack my posts that correspond to each podcast with lots of information, and I'm always looking for feedback, positive or negative. If you have agreement or disagreement to express, all I ask is that it be done intelligently. That's you know, and in a friendly manner. I'm not looking for attacks. I'm not looking to get into long debates either. I don't always answer every comment that's made. Either because I agree or I don't see anything, I don't see it worth disagreeing with. So what I'm going to cover this time is organ transplantation and the racial differences that show up in this, and there are several to talk about. And it's related to the race and blood installments that I did most recently. In a way, it's an extension of that, because blood is a type of organ. At least that's how doctors think of it. I don't think lay people think of it that way, but there is some truth in that. But organs, of course, are more solid. It's not just as easy as poking a hole in a vein and transferring fluid from one person to another. And that's partly why blood transfusions were done first, and because the technology required was lower. Although the similarity is, of course, the racial differences mean that they have to do some sort of typing. They have to check for compatibility of these organs. And the other similarity is, of course, the distortion of reality created by the anti-racist ideology that prevails to this day, and that causes stupidity. It causes ignorance and stupidity, causes death, actually. So I have a lot of information here, and I honestly probably could have just breezed through all of this and summarized it all in one installment, but I would have only been hitting the very high level points. And I don't want to do that. I want to get into some of the details here. I don't want to read long articles. I'll quote them. And I do intend to read some bits and pieces from these things, but there's a lot of points to make, and I feel kind of overwhelmed here. I'm operating outside of my area of expertise. But, you know, I'm a fairly intelligent person, and I think most of the people who listen to what I have to say, that I attract a similar type of person. I'd like especially to hear from somebody who's racially conscious, who is a doctor, and maybe can judge better, even better than I can, as to whether what I'm noticing here is true or not, and maybe explain some things better than I can, either in the comments or in an email to me. But I want to say that, you know, it took hours to gather this information, and I've already been over it twice just trying to massage it into an order and a form and to pull out the high points. And yet here I am with, you know, a stack of papers with certain things highlighted and so forth. It's very difficult to boil this down to just those few points that I want to make. And even when I do that in previous installments, I always end up missing something. And I wish I could revisit it, and sometimes I do get the chance. But anyway, that's why I know that I'm not going to be able to cover this in just one installment, so I know that it'll be at least two, and can say that up front. So let me get into the first article that I want to cite, which is titled Organ and Tissue Donation 101 from the Office of Minority Health. This is a U.S. government site. As you know, most of the things I'm going to quote in this installment and the next are, you know, from impeccable sources as far as having apparent legitimacy, being the United States government site. So this is not some, you know, weirdo stuff. You know, in the blood stuff, I did quote bloodbank.com, and, you know, who knows who's behind that exactly, and some other sources that I was not all that comfortable citing. But here, I'm not comfortable, but it's for a different reason. I think the government is illegitimate and anti-white, but, you know, in most people's eyes, the government holds a lot of weight, and that's the sense I want to convey here, is that what they have to say here affects a lot of people's thinking. So the title of this at the very top, I said it's Organ and Tissue Donation 101, and the subtitle is Why Is It Important for Minorities to Donate? The need for transplants is unusually high among some ethnic minorities. Some diseases of the kidney, heart, lung, pancreas, and liver that can lead to organ failure are found more frequently in ethnic minority populations than in the general population. And then it goes on and gives several examples of that for Native Americans, African Americans, Asian and Pacific Islanders, and Hispanics, and how they have there's certain diseases that they're more likely to have. And this is an interesting admission that there are racial differences in the occasion of diseases. I intended here to talk about organ transplants and the complications having to do with race, but the fact that there's higher incidences of diseases is coming out of this too. And even the government admits it. A little further on, although minorities donate in proportion to their share of the population, and that turns out to be a lie, their need for transplants is much greater. African Americans, for example, are about 13% of the population, about 12% of the donors, and about 23% of the kidney waiting list. Well, being 13% of the population but only being 12% of the donors, even if we take those numbers at face value, that you're still about donating almost 10% less than your population. You know, people think there's not much of a difference between 12% and 13%. Well, that's a 1% difference in an overall roughly 10% number. That's a 10% difference in your population, your rate of donation. And that's actually putting the best possible face on it that you can. There are many other studies I'll cite and many other articles that talk about the notorious under-donating of blacks and other non-white groups. But they are at least being honest here about the need, and they couch it differently. They talk about blacks being a higher percentage of the kidney waiting list. And this is a pattern that I see over and over again in this discussion in public sources of the racial discrepancy. They talk about the higher percentage of blacks on the kidney waiting list, casting it as an injustice being done to blacks because they are, you know, somehow being discriminated against. That's the implication anyway. They don't usually put it openly like that. But you have to dig a little bit deeper to see that the reason why they're a higher fraction of the waiting list for kidneys is because they're three times more likely to have kidney disease to begin with. So you start with the fact that they don't donate at the rate of their population. In fact, they donate lower. And then they have a higher rate of need, three times higher, roughly, that you see in other sources. And all of these sources are incomplete in some way. They give you a little bit of the puzzle, and you have to piece together the pieces yourself, as I'm doing. They don't make it easy. You don't find this stuff spelled out, which is partly why I like to gather all of these sources and, you know, put links to them and quote large sections of them in case they disappear from the internet. Hopefully, you know, what I'm creating here is a record from a white point of view of what this information means, because you won't find it elsewhere on the internet. Or it's hidden away low down in the searches. Oh, that was something I didn't mention. When I was searching for information about the racial differences in blood, it was fairly hard to find good information. I had to dig quite a bit and search quite a bit. When it comes to organ transplants, it's right there. You search for organ transplant race, and you get immediately a wealth of links to articles that have been written. There's well-known issues having to do with race and organ donorship and organ transplants. So I was really, in this case, even though it's similar, organ transplants, as I said, are analogous to blood transfusion in many ways, the amount of information discussing it in the public sphere is much, seems to me, more copious. So here's an interesting paragraph from this Tissue Donation 101 site. Successful transplantation is often enhanced by matching of organs between members of the same racial and ethnic group. Imagine that. Generally, people are genetically more similar to people of their own ethnicity or race than to people of other races. Therefore, matches are more likely and more timely when donors and potential recipients are members of the same ethnic background. Well, it turns out that not only is that true, but the transplants are more likely to be successful, too. Again, that's an example of how they leave out certain bits of information that you can find in other places. Another article now titled Attitudes and Beliefs About Organ Donations Among Different Racial Groups. And regardless of what those differences are, I could sum them up. But one thing to say about this is that there are different attitudes between the different racial groups about whether people should donate or not, in addition to the bare facts that they do or don't donate in different proportions. There are different ideas, apparently, about whether it's a good idea, and that's usually used as the excuse as to why, for instance, blacks or other non-white groups don't donate as much, is they then go and they poll these people and they try to find out why don't you. And that's there's a racial difference right there that I didn't see mentioned anywhere, is that when it's white people that do something that these experts don't like, well, the first excuse, the first reason that they go to is that we're stupid, crazy, evil racists, that we're obviously doing something immoral or incorrect, you know, because we favor our own or something, and that's just wrong, wrong, wrong. Whereas the clear feeling that I get and the impression I get, and I don't think it's a mistake, when you read about these disparities in racial attitudes about donating for organs, is excuses. You get this, well, that's just the way it is, and it must be for a good reason. And, you know, when they go and they poll, they find out, well, it's because blacks don't trust doctors. And isn't that just natural? I mean, everybody's afraid of doctors, right? Well, anyway, let me get into the specifics of this article. They say how many people on the waiting list for organ donation die every year without ever receiving the organs. So that's why it's a problem for people who are stuck on waiting lists. But the shortage of organs is even more pronounced in minority communities. You know, we already know that. But they're talking generally now here about organs in general, not just for one particular type of organ. So I think that's important. Although you'll find articles where they talk about a particular organ, and I'll get into that, this is good as an overview that in general they're saying for organs, it's usually the minorities, the quote-unquote minorities, non-whites, that are waiting. Again, they're portraying it as this is some sort of injustice being done to the non-whites because they have to wait longer or are a bigger fraction of the waiting list. It's a way of casting the story to make it look less favorable to whites and more favorable to the non-whites. You know, because they could cast it as whites don't need as much, and yet whites are donating at our percentage or higher of the population. So, in fact, this is an example of non-whites actually exploiting whites, getting the organs that we are donating, if you wanted to cast it that way. And I didn't find anybody in the medical community who had the courage to do so. It says directly in this article that these non-whites may be less likely to support or consent to organ donation. And the investigation that the study is about was undertaken to study the racial factors in organ donation, and mainly by focusing on differences in awareness, attitudes, and behavior. It's a PDF, and let's see, they talk about, you know, I apologize, I'm trying to pull out the stuff now here that I've highlighted without reading the whole darn thing. It notes that, blacks are awaiting kidney transplants, that, and a lot of this information that they're citing in this particular study is unpublished data. They use that over and over again. They're getting this data from Gallup polls, but Gallup never published the poll, which is interesting. Probably because of anti-racist dogma. But these people found out about it and were able to get access to the data. An additional concern is that African-American recipients face a decreased likelihood of successful transplantation due to poor tissue match if the donor is not also African-American. Interesting. The interesting thing about that is they're saying pretty flat out there that blacks need blacks in order to have a successful transplantation. And let's see, several studies have investigated why minorities are less likely than whites to support organ donation. Some is attributable to differences in access. Their minorities are less likely to have access to adequate medical care, according to this article. They have relatively low confidence in organ donation, attributed to racial or religious beliefs or distrust of the medical community. And in Hispanics, they cite language barriers and the role of the family in decision-making. And, you know, again, the point I want to make is that they consider every possibility, at least in this article, except race, except racial bigotry, which is the first thing that they would assume if there was some disparity that impacted negatively on non-whites that was attributable to whites. Let me move on. There's quite a bit of verbiage in that one that I've got quoted here, and I'll put it in my post, but I don't want to read it all. The next article is called Organ Donations and Culture, a Comparison of Asian American and European American Beliefs, Attitudes, and Behaviors, an article from 2000. Again, a government site. The well-known gap between organ donor supply and demand in the United States is particularly acute for Asian Americans. This study finds that relative to European Americans, Asian Americans hold more negative attitudes toward and participate less frequently in large urban owner organ donor programs. And that's interesting because a lot of racialists like to imagine that Asians are the model minority, that they're better than blacks and Hispanics or Latinos. And this here's a racial difference where they're not better. And a second article, the need for increasing organ donation among African Americans and Hispanic Americans, although that's the title, it actually, the part I've pulled out here has to do with Asians again. We know that most Asian countries, such as Japan, have only recently begun organ donation programs. And they talk about how the United States represents one of the most culturally heterogeneous populations in the world today, and that healthcare workers are called on every day of their lives to overcome cultural or ethnic differences. And at no point during the healthcare process is culturally competent care more necessary. I just want to say about that particular section there is this business about having to overcome differences, the effort required to do that, and to supply culturally competent care. These are the costs of a multicultural society. You know, we always hear about how diversity is our greatest strength. This is the nuts and bolts of it, though, is the cost of these differences and inciting people to forcing integration of peoples. This is what it does. It has costs that they never talk about as costs. Another article titled Racial Disparities in Organ Donation and Why. This is from 2011, a relatively recent article. There's right at the beginning is the purpose of this review is the high prevalence of comorbidities such as diabetes, hypertension, obesity, hepatitis B and C in minority groups results in racial minorities being disproportionately represented on transplant waiting lists. Well, this is just echoing what I started out with, although in more technical terms. It says that, unfortunately, minority groups also suffer from disparities in deceased and living donation, as if they're, you know, somebody else is causing this suffering. They're the ones causing the suffering by not donating. And it gives some actual numbers here. They comprise 12.9% of the population and are 34% of the kidney transplant waiting list. But 13.8% of the deceased donors, which is a little bit higher than their population, probably because the doctors are able to talk the families into donating the kidneys after death. But the living donors are only 11.8%, so less than their percentage of the population. But the key number here is the 3-to-1 roughly ratio between the ones that need it and the ones that supply it, three times higher. And they talk about in the summary of this article how community and national strategies utilizing culturally sensitive communication and interventions can ameliorate the disparities and improve access to transplantation. What they're talking about is outreach. They're talking about going to blacks and saying, hey, blacks, you need to donate more because it'll help you. And that's what they get into the details of that article. All right, enough of that. There's plenty of examples of that, and I probably could have cited dozens more, but probably those few are enough to get the point across. In the few minutes I have remaining in this installment, I want to talk now about an article about bone marrow compatibility. And it's just one article I'm going to cite about this, but it's a pretty good one in that it gives us there's some good facts that come out of this. This is an article that appeared in Time magazine in June 2010, titled Bone Marrow Transplants When Race is an Issue. And it's about a kid with leukemia whose father is Caucasian and mother is part Indian. Okay, so I'm assuming the other part is Caucasian. So let's assume it's one quarter Indian. They're not more specific than that, but I think it's fair enough reading between the lines there. And they talk about how there's 14 million bone marrow donors in the database that they have on this, but they couldn't find any matches for this kid. And it turns out that it's because he's of mixed race that he can't find donorship. And I'll read a little bit here, because this is a bit of a dirty secret, and I'm surprised it got published in Time, but then again, because it's for the benefit of someone who's not white or of mixed race, you know, they pull out the stops then in talking about race. Suddenly the taboo against talking about the reality of race goes out the window if it's to benefit non-whites or mixed race people. So let me read a section here. Compared to organ transplants, bone marrow donations need to be even more genetically similar to their recipients. Though there are exceptions, the vast majority of successful matches take place between donors and patients of the same ethnic background. Since all the immune system cells come from bone marrow, a transplant essentially introduces a new immune system to a person. Without genetic similarity between the donor and the patient, the new white blood cells will attack the host body. In an organ transplant, the body can reject the organ, but with marrow, the new immune system can reject the whole body. In the next paragraph, they talk about how even within one's own family, the chance of finding a match are only about 1 in 30%, or only about 30%, 1 in 3, roughly. According to the World Donor Marrow Association, 2 out of 3 Caucasians eventually find a match. But the chances for a patient from other ethnic backgrounds can be as low as 1 in 4. For mixed-race people, it goes on to discuss, for multiracial person is the euphemism that they use, or the term that they use for it. They describe it as, or they compare it to winning the lottery, as we saw with this kid who's only 1/4 Indian, 3/4 white. Even out of 14 million donors, he didn't find any matches. They quote a person who's created an outreach program specifically for to try and enlist multiracial people to donate more. And describes them as a mix of Japanese, Italian, Armenian, Egyptian, and Greek, and quotes this person as saying, "God forbid I need a match," which is exactly, of course, they're doing themselves a service here by setting up this outreach program to try and encourage other mixed race people. But you know, I want to say here that this article emphasizes that it's counter to the usual propaganda that we get. And they don't say this in the article. This is my editorial now, interpretation of it. Supposedly, race mixing doesn't matter. There's no consequences of race mixing. That's what the races of mankind told us, right? Man has been mixing race forever, and there's no consequences. Well, here's a consequence. Here's the price of race mixing. And wouldn't it be more responsible to tell people before they get involved in a mixed race and have mixed race children, that, you know, one of the consequences of this is your kids are going to have more trouble getting bone marrow transplants if they need them, or organ transplants if they need them. They're going to have probably more trouble getting blood transfusions too. I'm extrapolating a little bit from this one article. Certainly what they're saying very clearly in this article is that bone marrow transplants are virtually impossible to find if you're a match, if you're mixed race. But they also say this is the most extreme example. But this is an organ donorship case. It's just the most extreme case. The others are maybe less extreme, but the same applies. The article finishes by talking about how cord blood can be used as a substitute for marrow, and they encourage pregnant women to donate their cord blood for the greater good of mankind. But it isn't for the greater good of mankind. It's for the greater good of mixed race people. And this article could have been more honest about that. They could have mentioned that it's actually to the detriment of the greater good of everybody else, of the rest of mankind. It's for the benefit of mixed race people that they want to encourage pregnant women to donate their cord blood. So, remember that the next time you're urged to donate your cord blood and somebody tries to convince you that it's for the greater good of mankind.